see you. It's interesting sometimes how the Lord works through a service and things that are said and songs that are sung. Sometimes that's coordinated. Usually it's not at a time, usually because I'm part of that, so I know it's not coordinated. But just a real sense of the Lord speaking to us today and the worship and some of the things that Tim said, and that'll tie in to this as well. And the message today is entitled, The Glory of God. Now, that's a pretty big topic. Probably not going to get that in 20 minutes today, but just to kind of help us, if for lack of a better term, to step back a little bit from our lives and maybe try to get a little clearer understanding of who God is. Because in the midst of our day, if you're like me, and I'm sure you are, we get caught up in the details and the emotions and the relationships and all those things, and we lose sight of who God is. And I think sometimes the more we step back and get a more accurate aerial view of who He is, we have far more confidence and faith to believe Him for what He says He is in this book. Okay? I think sometimes, like the Apostle Paul, before he was an apostle, before when he was on that road to Damascus and the great light hits him, he was zealous for God, you know. He was. And yet he was doing things that were very wrong, even trying to kill the church. And so to a degree, I think, of some sort, each of us is in that place where our perspective of our Lord is maybe not quite what it should be, a little bit distorted. And if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry, but it's the truth, right? It is the truth. We need a better picture. Today this week in classes, I was showing with the hurricane, the news, just kind of pulling back and showing the kids what a hurricane looks like. The aerial views, and you see them, you know, kind of swirling around. And then that peace and calm right in the center. That just fascinates us all, doesn't it? That in the midst of it, and there's a spiritual principle there, in the midst of that great storm is a peace, right? And we can get caught up in the destruction of what it brings, and that's sometimes where our focus is, instead of, you know, spiritually on something bigger. When we were singing in one of the songs, and it kind of hit me, where we said, we are a moment, but He is forever, right? And when we understand that big picture, when we step back and see that for what it is, I know I'm far more confident in my walk with the Lord. I can trust somebody that's over everything. And today, I'm going to just try to work through a couple things here as we consider the glory of God. Even as Moses said, show me your face, Lord. And we might have even sung those words here. Show me your face. Let me see you for who you are. And when that is clear, our spiritual walk is much better, right? When we see Him for who He is. And so I'm going to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 16. And I just, you know, as we were talking here earlier, I was thinking about Tim's messages the last several weeks about the life of David. And last week he was talking about David dancing, you know, as they brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and how excited he was for God's presence. Something more, right? Was there, and David knew it. And so I thought, you know, there's something called the Psalm of Thanksgiving, and I was trying to find it during the worship time here, and it's in 1 Chronicles 16. And I don't think this is the book that Tim was using. I'm trying to remember, was it 1 Samuel last week? You were 2 Samuel? Well, this is 1 Chronicles 16. It's right on top of David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant in, and him dancing before the Lord, leaping and celebrating, and of course Michael not too happy with that. But in chapter 6, that's in chapter 15, chapter 16, starting in verse 8, there's something called the Psalm of Thanksgiving. And David told Asaph, one of his chief musicians, write a psalm. Give us something that we can sing together to honor the Lord. And I was going through it, and this is just my way of transitioning from Tim's Life of David message to what we're going to talk about here today. So I'm going to ask you to go to verse 23. I'm going to read a couple verses there and then down. And it says this. This, again, is in response to the Ark of the Covenant coming to Jerusalem. And it says this, "Sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples." Down in verse 28, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord what? Glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." Father, we are so grateful once again to be together in your name. And we consider you. Lord, we step back this morning and we look at you. We look at who you are, what you have made, and how it all just screams of the attributes and beauty of our great King and the salvation that your name brings to us. We are a moment. You are forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. The glory of God. Tim last week showed a picture of a poster. It's a poster in my room. The iceberg. You remember the iceberg? You see the tip of the iceberg on top, and then you're seeing below the water as well the giant portion, which is about, you know, maybe 10 times greater than what's above. Well, that poster has been in my room for several years on the wall. And I use it to tell the kids, look, you, especially on the first day I talk about it. You see that poster back there? What does it mean? Well, they don't. You know, I'm always thinking deep symbolic things. And they think, well, it's an iceberg, you know. One kid said, global warming? Global warming? Is that what you're getting? Is that going to be gone another year? Okay. Well, no, maybe, but that's not where I'm going. The point is, we see, you know, I'm telling those kids, I only know a very surface part of your life right now. I don't know what your homes are like. I don't know what sports you play. We'll get to know that a little bit through the course of the year. And likewise, you don't know me all that well. And for us, of course, there's something your life is much more than just what you are displaying to your friends and your family, you know, to us here and to me. There's more to you, and we'll develop that through the course of the school year a little bit. Well, I was thinking it's the same thing with us as we see God. I think sometimes, depending on where we are in our spiritual walk, our view of God is what we see on the surface. And there is so much more to him. We're going to discuss that a little bit today. You know, keep in mind, the things that are seen are temporal, right? The unseen is what? Eternal. And let's try to tap in as we step back a little bit into the eternal aspect and glory of God. It is so much bigger than how I perceive it. And that's just a product of human nature, right? As believers or not, we are limited our scope, but he has provided a way by his Holy Spirit for us, as he chooses, to reveal himself to you and your situation, right? And let's always remember, it's more than just about me. My relationship to the Lord is more than just about what he wants to do with me. Everything about the gospel is giving, right? It's just throwing that out there. One of the authors was talking about the glory of God, one author that I was reading here some months back, and he said this, and it kind of stuck with me. He said, all things were made to promote and reflect and live for God. Every single thing. We're going to talk about the different elements, whether it's Christ, creation, history and the pillars of society, and you, everything was made for him and by him, bar nothing, every single thing, okay? And I can have confidence in that, so if I know I'm walking or trying to walk in that, it's going to be blessing and favor for me somehow, even in the midst of suffering, which the scriptures are very clear our part of bringing glory to God is suffering. And I'm not going to focus on that because that's not what you want to hear. But it is part of it. Okay, so it's out there. All right. So it is a fundamental truth of the gospel. Everything is made for his glory. And at the center of that, and I've used this term before, the scarlet thread of all of that, in bringing God glory and reflecting his glory, is redemption and reconciliation. We'll see that in all the different things that we look at here. Okay. Scripture says in Isaiah 6 and 3, the seraphim are, one is calling out to the others, he says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And I was thinking, why doesn't it say the whole earth is full of his holiness? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, what's the difference? Glory and holiness. And this is what one had to say about this. He says, holiness is the intrinsic worth of God. He just is holy. That's his nature. His glory is, quote, the going public of that infinite greatness. And so everything that he has made to pour forth his greatness, his holiness, for the earth and all to see and to experience. And so that's what we have. It is like the rays of sun going out, and it's beaming out in its power and its strength, and he has made you one of those rays. He has made aspects of creation part of that ray, that glory that is God. All right, let's look at the glory of God in Christ. He is the centerpiece of God's glory. He is the exact representation of God. There is nothing God has made outside of Christ that can better reflect who God is and what his glory is. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is in the face of Christ, Paul says. That's why we want to look upon him. That's why we want to step back and see him for who he is, to help us better walk through the things we see. Hebrews says, the author of Hebrews, and he is the radiance, there again, like the sun, that image, the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. That is Christ. Perfect radiance of God's glory. And again, that redemption and reconciliation, that principle again in God's glory represented through Christ, redemption and reconciliation. He came so that we might be saved from our own sin. Right? Redemption, reconciliation brings glory to God. Now this gets kind of interesting as we get into history and all the things good and bad that happen. Is this all for God's glory? These are fun topics that I wish we could have an hour and have a debate about. Because like the hurricane, for example. If we look at creation, we know that the scripture tells us that the heavens are what? Telling of the glory of God. Everything made speaks of the glory of God. Al and I saw a lot of God's creation beauty when we were in Mexico and Central America. And all of that is an expression somehow of God's love for man and his desire to draw them to him. All of nature speaks to that, speaks to Christ and what he is doing. The stars, the seas, the mountains, all of that. And this won't mean much to you, but I can remember Al had come home. I was in a lancha. It's a big long wooden boat with a little outboard motor on it, and there's about 15 of us packed in there, going through the canals from one Caribbean coast village to another. It's kind of like the chicken bus, John, of the Caribbean coast. Okay, that's how you get around. And we're going through these canals, and the canals are no wider, like from here to the wall. Just kind of zooming through. It's kind of a jungly. It's really beautiful. And all of a sudden, this gorgeous bird, probably had to be a foot and a half long, with about that same wingspan, it flies out of the trees, full of colors, long beak, almost like a woodpecker's beak. And I still remember this very clearly. Came down to the front of this long boat, and I say boat, it's maybe 2.5-3 feet wide, and it's maybe 20 feet long. by two, just kind of crammed in there. I mean, the boat, the water is maybe a few inches from the top. You know, it's just like they're cramming everybody in they can. You're not going that. It's a little, you know, 20 outboard, it's kind of putting along. And there's a kid sitting on the front who's, the guy got his hand on the motor in the back, and then there's a kid, it's always a kid, sitting on the front, who is just looking for logs or, you know, critters or anything that might get in the way. Watch out, you know, going this way or go that way. So this bird comes out of the trees and it just zooms down right in front of this kid, right at the front of the boat, and he stays there. And it's like he's leading us through the, and he's turn as we turn. It was amazing. And then he'd get tired, he'd go up into the tree, and we'd get by and think, oh, we've lost the bird. What a beautiful. And he'd come back again, and he did it three times. And I thought, what a beautiful bird. God made that bird for something, right? It expressed, in my mind, God's glory somehow. And again, to you, it's nothing. But it could be a tree, it could be a blade of grass. I was riding a bike home from the lake, from Debbie's, and I went past a cornfield, and the wind was blowing. And so I'm along a cornfield, and I don't know if you've heard this, but the stalks on the corn made a distinct sound. And I stopped. I stopped, and I walked that 10 feet down into the field just to listen to that sound. You probably think I'm weird. Got back on the bike, and I'm heading, it's a long trip, you know, it's 20 miles, so 15 miles, and I'm going farther down the road, get on Culver Road. And there's a house that I kind of slowed down because it had been vacant for a while, and I wondered what was going on there. And I'm not snooping around, but I was slowing down. And they have a specific tree there. It's kind of a tall tree, but the leaves are more oval. Okay, it's not a maple tree leaf. It's oval. And as I was driving, I thought, what a weird sound that wind is making those. And I stopped again. It was a distinct sound for that tree versus the leaves, the sound that they made in the trees that I have in my yard. And you're thinking, well, okay, Tim, you're dragging. I'm telling you, it is, again, a distinct song that God is speaking into the earth of God's glory. Right? Step back a little bit and see what God is doing. And more than that, who he is and what that means to you. Okay, so whether it's the bird's song, the leaf's color, whatever it may be, you know, just think about it. When you could go into nature, into the intricacies of a cell. I mean, it's remarkable when you focus in and then zoom out into the universe, into the billions of galaxies. We are in the Milky Way, with its own expanse, and there are billions of them. Somehow that speaks of God's glory. That same boat ride, when we were coming back with the bird, we come out into a lagoon, Bruce Laguna, where we live in Honduras, and it's a big lagoon. So we're in that boat probably 45 minutes just crossing the lagoon. Okay? And by this time, it's pitch black. Now, traveling in one of these boats with no light, I mean, it's an interesting experience when the water's that far from the surface of the boat. You're thinking, okay. And all the people, and I forgot about this, all the people started putting, like, plastic tarps over their head because of the waves in the lagoon. They were splashing up, and everybody was getting soaked. And so it's just bringing back memories, yeah. I'm tucked underneath this tarp with this woman, had to be 100 years old. I mean, she's singing, Al, you'll love this. She's singing praise songs. I don't know if she was scared or what, but she's over and singing these in Spanish. And I'm thinking, so I got to know this old lady under the tarp. But then they pull the tarp off when the waves kind of calmed down, and you looked up. Now you know, if you're in an area when it's very dark out at night and there is no light, do you know what the heavens look like? It's pretty remarkable. Really, an expression again of God's love for you and me. It is. Step back and see who God is. Okay, so in creation, of course, in Romans it says, His invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that none are without excuse. You don't have to be born in the United States to a Christian home, be brought up in the Baptist church, Methodist church, to see the glory of God. Somehow, through it all, God speaks to the heart of men so that we are without excuse. All right, God's glory in history and in the societal discipline, so to speak. Let's think about this. All the empires, all the countries, all the governments, all the leaders, good and bad. And this is where you might not like this. You might think, I don't agree with it. Somehow, this canvas of history, which God is outside of, trust me, He is not surprised by some tyrant. He's not. He's not thrown by somebody that wants to build a nuclear weapon in North Korea or Iran or any other thing that went on in history. He's not thrown by the Egyptians putting the Israelites in slavery. He's not bound by any of that. And somehow, God's glory is expressed even in these bad things. You know, the church today exists in other parts of the world in some pretty horrible governmental situations. Is God denied His glory because that's where they live? No, in fact, He's probably glorified more in the midst of that. I skipped over this with the creation. You know, it's this hurricane thing. Here's another thing. Are hurricanes from God or the devil? You look at the Bahamas, right? I mean, these are some questions that can really get you spinning around. And I don't know the answer. You know, I don't know how that all works in God's eyes. But I will say this. Despite the destruction or in the midst of it, God is glorified. Why? Because, you know, there's a scripture that talks about even the earth groans under sin. It is waiting for its freedom, right? The earth is fighting even over this and is trying to speak to God's glory. And so somehow, and again, I'm not in the Bahamas now with my house flattened, right? I'm not. And I'm not along the Florida coast as it goes up. So the people in the north, you know, the northern part of Georgia along that coast, do you think they were praying for this to take a better path and go north? It's interesting. You know, what I'm praying for, what Ken's praying for, might serve our own interests. But somehow God's bigger than Ken and bigger than me, right? And what I want. And it's the same in nature and creation. All of this, again, somehow be able to step back and see that God is great. He's more sovereign than you think. He loves you and knows you better than you think. And if you say, well, I know He loves you. Well, if we lived the way that we think He is, we would be different. Every one of us in this room would live a different life. Okay? God is glorified in everything. All of history, all disciplines, all things. You know, God's blessings on a nation, God's curses on it. I don't understand it all. Can God use bad guys? Yes, the scripture's full of that. Right? A Pharaoh, He can use Nebuchadnezzar. He can use David, who's killing people. God's not thrown off guard by all of it. And He is, you know, as I think about education, He is in every discipline. Education is for the glory of God. All wisdom and knowledge are found in whom? Jesus Christ. I was watching, forgive me, a PBS special. And you know, it's the world I'm in. I'm trying to find things. I'm just being silly. They were talking about Abe Lincoln. Was it PBS? No, it was Larry Arn in Hillsdale College. That's what. That's better. You'd be grateful for that one. Yeah, he'll look out. And they're talking. And Larry, he's just brilliant. Some of these people are just. Why does God do that? You know, he just makes some of us shine so much better than others. And anyways, this guy's brilliant. And he's talking about Lincoln, and he gave a speech at a place called Cooper Union in New Jersey. It's just an auditorium. It was a college. And he gave a speech, and it was in 1860, so it was prior to the presidential election. It's him and Stephen Douglas are going back and forth. And slavery, of course, is a big thing. And Larry Arn was saying, that speech, they say, probably put Lincoln on the map with the intellectuals of the Northeast and saying, hey, this guy's sharp. The whole point was, Larry Arn was saying, Lincoln was very methodical, and if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. He was trying to mathematically prove why slavery was wrong, or why the state should have the rights. And so you've got the political sphere, but Lincoln was using logic and argument, not just, well, God said it, so it should be. He was trying to lay out this argument. And Larry Arn says, Lincoln came up with this by studying Euclid. Now, I've heard the name Euclid, but I wouldn't know Euclid. Well, he was a great mathematician, and apparently he had put out a series of books on the theories of math and logic and premise and argumentation, those kind of things. And Lincoln just set himself aside for several months and studied those books. And so through math, through mathematical principles, Lincoln applies it to the political realm and probably is our president because of math and logic, okay? And so all that to say, every discipline, the sciences, you know, we can get into creation and all that stuff, sciences, government, law, every sphere of society is made for the glory of God. Every sphere, every job that we work in, we work is unto the Lord, right? To bring glory to Him. Not just to earn a paycheck, that's a byproduct. Not just to be nice to the person in the cubicle next to me. Not just to be the best at what I want to be the best teacher. I want to get a great evaluation from my principal. Bring glory to God regardless of how the world sees it. Amen? With our time and everything. All of history, all the wars, all the corrupt governments, all the disasters that have happened in this world somehow speak to God's glory. And remember that scarlet thread, redemption and reconciliation. It's that God can find glory, have glory brought to Himself, even through the judgment of nations. Even through judgment of men that don't receive Him. God somehow receives glory in all of this. If we've rejected Him, there is punishment. And that brings glory to the perfect, the holy thing. If He didn't bring judgment, He wouldn't be perfect. He would allow something tainted and stained, and that cannot happen. Only the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. All of history, all these things. Nothing in God's eyes is left to chance. We say again, we are a moment. He is eternal forever. We see these things. Life and history in this little tiny sliver that is our 70, 80 years that we have here, or 95 that Sherm has. We see it in that little tiny slot. God sees the whole thing and beyond. Time created, right? It's a created thing. There's a beginning and an end of our little time thing. With Him, it's eternity. It's different, right? Everything is for Him. All right, His glory in you, finally. Especially in you, His highest creation, He wants glory. And I say, well, that's pretty proud. You know, that's pretty arrogant. Give me all the glory, you know, and through my finest creation, bow down to me. It can't be any other way because He's perfect, right? If you believe that, then everything I am should be devoted wholly to Him. Everything. And He has made us unique and special in His creation to glorify Himself in an even more special way than a tree or a lake or a sea or a hurricane or a lightning bolt, whatever it is, or that bird in front of my lancha in Honduras. He's made you even more special because you have His nature in you. Scripture says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, you as messengers of the church are a glory to Christ. When we take His nature, we represent, we reflect, like the moon reflects the sun, we reflect His glory in righteousness. Not because I'm anything special, but because He chooses to do it when we allow it by faith. Right? But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, as we look at Him, we are being transformed into what? The same image from glory to glory. There's a great passage, and I don't know if I have it. Oh, I do have it in here. 1 Corinthians 15. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars, for star differs from star in glory, Scripture says. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul tells us that. And I've reflected on that a lot. Does that mean He made me to be this particular star in the heavens to shine bright in the darkness, and I'm always going to be that star? Or, like we just read here, can I become a brighter star from glory to glory? Can I get closer to that sun's brilliance versus that one that's so far away? The closer we are to Him, the brighter we shine. We show the world His brilliance. Somehow there's a great mystery of His sovereignty over my life and my free will to accept or reject it each and every day. And even in that, there is glory. And again, that principle, redemption and reconciliation. First, with me to Him. He receives glory when sinful man bends our knee to Him and says, yes to the Lord of all things. So when I step back, I see Him for what He is. And you know what? The farther you step back, the better your view is going to be. And that, when I say step back, I'm saying get out of having to be in control of everything in your life. We go through things, we make our requests known to Him, and we trust Him, right? Lord, what should I do? I'd rather kind of have it this way. This would help me here. If I retire now, this will help me. Put it out there and trust Him. Step back. Those are the two words I hope you get from this, and I hope the Holy Spirit brings into your mind when you need it. Step back and see Him and His glory. And we will always, forever trust Him with our lives. I'm going to ask you to please stand. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. He wants to fill you as well. That the presence of God would be made known to those around us. Scripture said that God was in Christ for what? To reconcile the world to Himself. He's going to reconcile nature to Himself. It's going to be released in freedom from sin. All of history is being reconciled somehow to Him. It is all pointing to Him in His glory. The tyrant and the godly leader. All points to Him somehow. When He paints, you know, we see the little paintbrush strip, the one part of that brush putting that one color on the canvas, and the canvas of history is quite big. It's quite broad. And somehow that little stroke that is you, that little stroke that is my 80 years in Albion, New York, that little stroke that is Harvest Christian Fellowship is a significant part of the big picture. Even though we don't see it, step back and let Him show you the big picture of it. let him reveal his glory. Father, we thank you that you are great. Matt was saying in prayer this morning, words cannot describe your glory. Whether in Christ, whether in creation, whether through history or the disciplines of society, or in me, you are great beyond measure. And Father, the greatest form of your glory is that when my sin was great, your love was greater. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Help us to walk with you and to see you for who you are. Even as Moses, Lord, somehow was in your presence and his face shone. God, that would be the same in our lives. Your glory would be reflected in and through us in your great mercy and compassion. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.